What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? It's Devin Tilley here. Right now, as you out there listening to this, I'm at the Digital Built Week in Seattle, and I could not be more excited for what we have in store. As the official podcast for Digital Built Week, we've had an amazing run in the months leading up to this conference, having great conversations with all sorts of masterminds in the AEC industry about how new technology and connections are revolutionizing construction. This conversation I'm about to have with Derek Zero of Turner Construction is the last of our Digital Built Week pre-shows. After listening to this, check out our show notes to make sure you're following all of our social media channels where you'll be giving live updates detailing my experience here at Digital Built Week. Also, make sure to stay tuned in the coming weeks where we'll be releasing the final Digital Built Week episodes of the AOC, where I'll be interviewing keynote speaker Stephen Burrows on stage about why right now is the greatest time in history to be in the construction industry. If you're at Digital Built Week, I look forward to meeting you and exploring all of the amazing new technology in construction together. And for you at home in your office, make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook to get the latest up-to-date information on all that's happening at this amazing conference. Lock and load, here we go!
Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here. I am so pumped to talk virtual design and construction with Derek Zero. His title is the Virtual Design and Construction Engineer with the Turner Construction Company, and we're excited to learn about him and his company and what he's got going on with Turner. This podcast is going to be built around his presentation that he's going to be doing at Digital Built Week in Seattle, that AOC is honored to be the official media partner and podcast to help spread the message of a whole week of amazing presentations. And his presentation for that is titled Virtual Pre-Inspections with Local Authorities. And that's what we're going to be talking about today on the podcast. Let's talk through what our learning objectives are going to be today. We're going to talk about how learning about creating detailed Revit models for virtual inspections and how modeling practices impact visualization. We're going to talk about managing linked subcontractor models versus design models for virtual reality presentations, how to mitigate changes requested to actual changes that can be made without impacting your schedule, and how to showcase some of the meaningful real-world virtual inspection case studies and their success stories. This is going to be gold, where we're talking about taking these video games and put them into real-world applications and talking through that to the lens of the local authorities with our subs with a contractor like Turner Construction. This is going to be so much fun. Let's dive in and have a fireside chat and get to know Derek and what he's doing with Turner Construction. Lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage would be a vodka in water, flat water with a lime.
Keep it simple, huh? Clear and simple. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
My favorite place that I've ever traveled was Reykjavik in Iceland. I went a couple years ago with my fiance and a couple friends, and we had a blast hiking around the hills of Iceland.
Awesome. Give us one story from that experience.
I think one of the best things we did there was we visited, I believe it was called Jökulsárlón, the icebergs where they were all cracking off into the ocean. It was about a five-hour drive from Reykjavik, and it was unlike anything I've ever seen before. Just the landscapes and all these large icebergs just creating such a beautiful environment there.
Awesome. And what is Derek Zero's favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena we passionately call the AOC?
I'm going to have to say that's going fishing. Fishing is my one true passion in life. I love being in the outdoors, and anytime there's tight lines, it's a great day.
Awesome stuff. Well, we got to know a little bit about Derek Zero. And on the intro, like I said, his title is the Virtual Design and Construction Engineer at Turner Construction Company. Give us your quick story of what led you to Turner Construction as a virtual design and construction engineer.
So I did my undergraduate studies at the University of Hartford in their architecture program. And I also went on to their master's program for architecture. So traditionally I was trained as an architect. I have my master's in architecture. And when I started my career, it was on the design side in a small architecture firm in Hartford, Connecticut. So I got a lot of my training on the design side, building Revit models and creating construction documents. But I really never got to see how any of those projects really turned out or how their construction actually happened. So after spending about 5 years on the design side, I got approached by a good friend of mine who was working at Turner Construction at the time and asked if I wanted to fill a virtual design and construction role to help coordinate and create constructability reviews for Turner Construction. So being on this side of the industry, I now get to see how things are constructed and actually be part of that process.
Exciting stuff. And tell us a little bit about Turner Construction.
Turner Construction, it's one of the world's largest construction management firms. We have about 10,000 employees and I think about, 45 different offices around the world. As to date, I believe we have about $19 billion in work in total backlog for the company. And I myself work out of the Shelton, Connecticut office that is partnered with the Boston, Massachusetts office to form the New England region and part of the New England VDC team.
Awesome. Thanks for that. So we got to know a little bit about Derek on his background in Turner Construction, where you bring some great accolades for this conversation we're going to have around virtual pre-inspections with the local authorities. So you ready to dive in and have some conversations around that, where I'm going to ask you some questions based on our learning objectives we set up before the call?
I think so. Let's have at it.
All right, here we go. So the first thing I wanted the synopsis from for your presentation of Built is as follows: of virtual reality software combined with a well-produced building informational model or BIM can create a powerful visual tool that can aid in alleviating a common construction headache, inspections. Using design models, subcontractor coordination models, and specific products, we can create detailed spaces for local building officials to inspect prior to construction. Give us the overview on how that stuff works, and then let's go in and have some detailed conversation around that.
So a lot of the times with our jobs, there's a large headache at the end of the project when we have building inspectors, health and safety inspectors, and fire marshals coming to our jobs and doing final punch lists for their inspections. And a lot of the times they haven't really seen the project, haven't seen any of the drawings, and don't really know what they're going to get into. And this causes problems for us because they make changes for things that are already constructed. So that adds time to our schedule and costs for redoing work. So what we tried to do is get the local authorities having jurisdiction involved in the project much earlier in the process to give them a better understanding of what's going to be constructed in the field. And by doing so, we get them into our building information models and really show them around the design before anything is ever constructed in the field.
That is some powerful stuff, but that's a big task to do of the politics and the moving parts of this is how we've always done it, or different municipalities or different building officials are not all doing it the same way. So can you just talk to me, how do virtual inspections work?
So the very first thing you got to do is get the authorities to buy into the idea of reviewing a job without ever seeing anything physically constructed. So we have had some pushback with certain towns and municipalities that, aren't really sold on the idea. But then there are other people who are really, really invested in like that progressive technology and they really want to try it out. So what we end up doing is we take an architect's and engineer's design models, which are usually less detailed. They don't have all the materials chosen. They don't have everything completely modeled. And we take it up to the next level and build in all of those small details. Like we'll show where all the sprinkler heads, light switches, fire alarms, fire extinguishers, all the exit signs. We model in all those things to great detail to really give the space or really give the model a great feeling, make it more realistic. And then we take our HTC Vive unit, which is our VR hardware, and we combine that with Enscape 3D, which is a program that allows us to take our Revit models into the virtual realm. And then we bring them all together have them show up into a space and have them pop into the virtual realm and start reviewing the model in spaces.
So if I heard you right, the HTC Vive is the hardware. That's the goggles that you guys are putting on and using. And then the software you're using, Enscape, that go back to Phil Reed, and we talked about the real-time rendering, and then you're overlaying with SketchUp and other tools. Is that the kind of hardware software that you guys are using to do these, to build out these virtual inspections?
Yep, we're using the HTC Vive headset, goggles, and the handset tools, and we've been using Enscape 3D, which is a fairly new software that overlays with our Autodesk products. And we mainly use Autodesk Revit for our building information modeling, but it also works with SketchUp and other 3D programs, and it's pretty much a one-click solution to bring these models into the virtual realm where you can start exploring the spaces.
Awesome. Great stuff. So next I was curious, how do you manage, if I heard you right, I thought you, and on the, it's linking subcontractor models. So how do you manage linked subcontractor models versus design models for this virtual reality presentation? Because that's a big deal of, you had mentioned earlier, putting light switches and the sprinklers, or, you know, what all the other, the subs that are all making these project work, you're linking those into your design?
Yes, we kind of do it half and half, and it depends on what the local authorities want to see at that given time. For the design models, they're typically built in Revit, so we're getting the 3D models from the designers, and they play really well with Enscape 3D. When we bring it in, you can see everything. All of the joints and connections are shown properly, but they don't have a level of detail that really makes it look realistic. So that's when we go in and add the sprinkler heads, duct diffusers, and light switches. But when we want to show the local authorities or the building inspectors what actually is going to be constructed in the field, we bring in our subcontractor models, which are typically built or designed in software that isn't Revit, like AutoCAD 3D, or some of the other trade-specific softwares. And when we try to bring those into our Revit models and our virtual mock-up models, it's a challenge because we don't have all the exact object enablers that they have. So some pieces come in missing. And that's where we have to go in and model different, more intricate parts of piping, ductwork, electrical pieces. And they show up a little differently when we bring them into the model for them to look at. But that is actually what they want to see. They want to see how these MEP systems are going to be constructed in the field.
Yeah, that's a bit of gold you just talked about. And you did a really good job explaining that there's certain pieces of the puzzle that are kind of hard to interject. In Colorado, I own a window and door company. So I'm working with companies like Anderson Windows and others to say, how do these work and plug into the Revit model that actually works with what Turner's doing on this specific project? And we'll get to some case studies. But there's really cool companies out there like BIMSmith. Ben Glunn's the owner of BIMSmith. And one thing that really resonated with me when he educating me about BIM, building informational modeling, that really resonated with me is that he said, BIM is not a product. It's part of the process. And all these different things, data is key, but you have to understand how the BIM models all cohesively come into the specific design and getting all the parts and pieces to work together. For like my example there with Windows, they all have their special software that they go through their supply channel, but how does that integrate back from the design to the actual execution? Is that what you mean kind of by the different challenges of those models?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I was saying, we receive those design models that are, you know, built in Revit, everything plays nicely with each other. But once you start introducing some of the other models, which are also building information models just done in other softwares, certain things are harder to mix together with the virtual reality software and Revit. So it doesn't display as a realistic representation of what's going to be built. And what we are trying to go for is having these models look as real as possible for when they go in and inspect the spaces.
And that's where companies like BIMSmith have been built up to say, you know, this is a choke point for me here. And they come in and help make the different tools and gadgets and data of the BIM model work, right?
Yes, exactly. I think we've had a little bit of exposure to them. We had met them at their booth last year at Built, I believe. But we went through some of their software, or I guess their website, and how they build some of those families, showing all the specific construction pieces of, you know, windows, doors, and linking them to specific data sheets as well in the specification. So they do create some pretty powerful families for BIM.
Cool. So how do you mitigate the changes requested to actual changes that can be made without impacting the schedule?
So this really depends on when you can get the authorities to come and do a virtual inspection. On one of our projects, we had just finished constructing steel. So if they had any large changes, like, I don't know, moving a wall around or a firewall, something like that's something that we wouldn't have been able to do for them. And we had explained and expressed that to them that, you know, there are certain changes that you can make from this model, but there are certain changes that you can't. So ideally, we have them come and give a pre-inspection before we even dig holes in the ground. We'll take you know, 100% CD set of construction drawings. We'll match that up to the architect's and engineer's design model. We'll bring up all the finishes and specifications of all the light switches, ductwork, and everything up to snuff in the model so that it looks realistic, and have them virtually inspect that space so that they can make changes on the fly. And what helps this is that it's not just Turner Construction and the local authorities in this meeting. We invite the MEP engineers, we invite the architects. So it's more of a collaborative process with the designers, the construction management team, and the local authorities, that we're all making changes together that will benefit the project in the end run.
What people are always just saying, it's about communication, right? And these tools help you bring collectively, and you're all looking at the same stuff, that you can make changes on the fly, like moving beams versus when they're actually built, and it's a real struggle. So a great example with that. Well, we've been asking everybody on these series with Digital Built Week is if you could wave that crystal ball for the future with technology and construction, what does that look like, or what are some things that you would discuss about that?
Well, of course, virtual reality, it's a big hot topic. That's what I'll be talking about. You know, getting actual real world use cases of virtual technology benefiting a project in construction is great. You know, we see it a lot as more of like a gimmicky type tool at the beginning during the design phase, but we are really trying to get it used as a process that's going to save us designers and owners money at the end. But there's some other technology that we're working with now that I see exploding within the next couple of years, mainly with at least on the construction side, 3D takeoff, 3D quantity takeoff, using architects' models and engineers' models to hand over to our estimators, and having them use these building information models to create estimates from to bid out jobs. And we are harvesting so much data from the models. It's insane. It's great.
What's one of the tools that you guys use for the digital takeoffs?
We use a web-based software called Assemble Systems. I believe it was just recently purchased by Autodesk, so now it's part of the Autodesk package. And we've been working very closely with them for a long time now, and they make it extremely simple for us to upload architecture and engineering models to their website. And you know, we were able to give estimators who have been spending years in on-screen takeoff, doing 2D takeoffs, counting toilets by hand, now they're able to pop into a building information model, something that they're never typically able to do. It can run on any computer, and they're able to start looking at models in 3D. They can, you know, find a quantity count for the amount of sinks that are in a building in, you know, almost two clicks. So we're getting people who have never had any experience with any type of technology. Now they're requesting and asking to see the models, and it's just been great. And at the very, very least, they're using it as a visualization tool to see the buildings.
Awesome. Well, exciting stuff. Could you talk about a couple of case studies and their success stories around the stuff that you guys are doing?
Absolutely. The first big project we actually rolled virtual inspections out on was Stratford High School in Stratford, Connecticut. It was a new building and a renovation to their existing high school. It was a $118 million project. And what we were focusing on for the first trial of this was the new portion of the high school. We were approached by our project team out there, and they wanted to use some emerging technology to get their, to be the best project they can be. And we had reached out to the local authorities in the area, and they were very excited to be a part of the construction process so far in advance, because typically, you know, they're coming in when the building is done, buttoned up, and then they're punch listing something that they've never seen. So we were creating a relationship with them early on, which was, it's beneficial. So we had the fire marshals, the safety inspectors, the health inspectors, and building inspectors all come in. We had the architects and everyone in the room. And we had mocked up for them some of the large assembly spaces that they had wanted to see at the new school. It was a cafeteria, a kitchen servery area, some of the larger hallways to show egress, and some of the main staircases in two typical classrooms. One was like a laboratory classroom, and then one was a regular sitting classroom. And we wanted to give them the opportunity to walk through these spaces and give a punch list like they were doing it if the job was constructed. And it turned out to be an extremely successful process, because the very first thing that the fire inspector or the fire marshal noticed was that we had green exit signs specified for all the exit signs, and he wanted red exit signs. We had looked at the specification. The architect had specified green, but the fire inspector, he wanted red. So we went and made that change, and that swapped out, I don't know, it was like over 100 exit signs for the new building, which that would have been a big pain to change when the project was completed. And along those lines, we had this health and safety inspectors check out the kitchen survey area, and they had realized that there was not the required number of splash guards or hand sinks to be installed. So that would have been a very, very large change at the end of the project to install extra hand sinks in the kitchen area. So that worked out very well for us. And now moving on to the addition side, the addition and renovation side of this project, they want to come back and do more virtual inspections. We have two more big assembly spaces that are being created, a brand new gymnasium and a brand new like 400 student auditorium. And they are extremely excited to see those in the virtual realm before having to inspect them for final inspections.
Man, that is gold. I'm visualizing the exit signs, and it's not the cost of the actual exit sign, because that's one of those things that's not a super costly item. Like, I work with windows and doors, and that's a big deal when you go and replace all that. But it's still the time factor of 100 signs that you'd have to wait, and it may hold up inspections that virtually did that all at that one time, that everybody could breathe a little bit easier. And now there's not pointing the finger. Like you said, the architect inspect this, but the fire marshal requested that. It's back to that team and the collaboration. That's why you want to work with Turner and have a Derek Zero on your team to help mitigate this stuff, right?
Exactly. It's all about that collaborative process. I mean, you would have never known that fire marshal just wanted to have red signs. That's just his personal preference. And it's like that with all, you know, the different municipalities. You get one fire marshal who expects one thing and another who will change it completely in a different town. So having them be a part of the construction, the design and construction process that early on is really beneficial to everyone on the job site.
Awesome. So we always ask in closing for you here is, what is that one thing that you'd leave contractors and affiliates thinking about and dangle that carrot to help them grow their business going forward?
Again, I have to go back to saying creating and maintaining relationships. I mean, a lot of the work that we get as a construction management team is repeat work from clients who know how good we are at building, know how good we are at managing our subcontractors and the design teams, and they want us to be a part of their project. So just keeping those relationships and just always reaching out and asking clients, you know, how they're doing, how their projects are holding up. Because a lot of times, you know, you build a project, you see how it was constructed, but then it's done. It's kind of off the back. It's onto the back burner. You're onto your next project. You never go back and ask them, do you like the building? Was this built correctly? You know, are you liking this space? So knowing from them that, you know, we constructed it well and just keeping up that relationship with them goes a long way.
Awesome stuff, man. Thanks so much for coming in and telling us your story.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Devin. And it was a pleasure to speak with you.
Look forward to having a vodka with you at Digital Built Week, man.
Oh, you can definitely count on it.
All right. Talk about gold. If you can just say those pain, find the biggest pain and fix it, whether it's an exit sign or counting up sinks or all the different stuff, if you can sit and collaborate and work all that stuff out in a digital environment led by Derek with Turner Construction, it's no wonder why Turner just keeps blowing up and getting bigger and bigger. And on their website at 10, I think it said 12 billion, but he talked about how 19 billion. That's with a B, folks. And that's why they're investing in people like Derek and moving the needle forward when truly taking the art of construction and taking the video games that a lot of people are playing. They're using this to talk billion-dollar projects. So make sure you're getting involved in Digital Built Week. The folks over there have a lot of awesome stuff going on. They have so many different cool conferences, and he's one of the many presenters there. So we're honored to be part of that, and we're honored to be affiliated with Derek. And I couldn't agree more with the relationships. And locally, we've done some great projects with Turner with my window and door company. But now I'm honored to have Derek as a friend and a mentor when it comes to using these different tools, when it comes to virtual pre-inspections and working with your local authorities. Hopefully, this is another great touch point for you to crush it out there, Trev. Thanks for listening.